Hello, and welcome to Open Source Sex. This is Violet Blue, and if you're not familiar with my work, check out my website, tinynibbles.com. On today's podcast, rather than read you some erotica, I wanted to talk about a couple of things that I mention in my blog every once in a while, specifically having to do with unsafe sex products. Every once in a while, I rant about some kind of product that is unsafe, or I mention that I won't link to sites that sell certain types of unsafe sex products. And I thought that it was about time that I actually sit down and write a real exploration about what those products are and why they're unsafe. So I did that, and I put it as a permanent feature on my website in the left-hand column. If you click on the word unsafe, you'll find out what these toys are, what these products are, and what you're at risk for or not when you use them. So that way, you can be a smart sex shopper. And if you're a smart sex shopper, then you can have better sex because you'll be buying better sex toys. You'll be using sex toys that were made for good sex, and you won't be getting hurt accidentally by reading some bullshit marketing copy on the outside of a product that's sold for novelty use only. So, unsafe sex products. Sex toys in general are an awesome gateway to an incredible sex life. I should know. These silly, bizarre, little, or big things can lead to hours of orgasmic exploration, self-discovery, sexual self-reliance, and even deeper intimacy between couples, or a hilarious comedy of errors, depending, or both. But not everything mass-marketed for sex is safe to use. Plainly put, there are novelties and there are toys made for sex. Confused? Most sex toys and products that you'll find in garden-variety retail sex toy stores are created, marketed, and sold for novelty use only, meaning that while the toy companies explicitly know that people are using their toys for sexual use, they sell them categorized as novelties. Why they do this is anyone's guess. Perhaps it's so they can avoid responsibility for faulty merchandise, as many sex toys are poorly made, almost all novelty sex toys are made cheaply in Chinese factories, or perhaps it's so they can make outrageous claims on the packaging and marketing materials. The short of it is that because sex toy companies label their products for novelty use only, they can get away with anything, even though they explicitly know their products are for sexual use. It's clear that they just don't give a shit if anyone gets hurt using their products. Same goes for the scary chemical materials many companies use in the manufacture of their toys, mostly in China, but that's another rant for another day. Novelty sex toys are the most widely available as they have a virtual stranglehold on American distribution, and they are the least expensive. In practical terms, this is not such a bad thing. You'll find the widest selection and the best prices in the novelty toy market, making these toys a great place to try new things without breaking the bank, getting a certain size, shape, or functionality you desire, or for finding that exact shade of pink you prefer. Novelties often feature the latest innovations in design and use, but they also tend to break easily. Some are made with noxious materials, and they can ship defective with user-unfriendly return policies. That's user-unfriendly. Technically speaking, novelties aren't made for sex, but they can conjure an orgasm pretty well. Identifying these toys in stores is easy, as they have the most polished or garish, and sometimes offensive packaging. For novelty use only is printed somewhere on the package, and they typically come from companies such as Doc Johnson, Vibratex, Pipe Dream, or Adam and Eve. In any case, it's always buyer beware when purchasing a sex toy, and nowhere is it more essential for the consumer to be prepared with knowledge about the products, even before plunking down $5 on a plastic discount vibrator. Not all sex toys are sold as novelties. The ones made for sex that come from independent manufacturers are created with the consumer's pleasure as their express purpose. There are a growing number of high-quality sex toy companies in the United States and the UK who do not market their toys as novelties and price sexual health and pleasure as the key building blocks of both their businesses and their products. Many of these companies are women-owned, though many have as yet to break into the old boys' network of distribution to novelty stores. You can find products, or rather, pleasure instruments, from Tantus, Vixen Creations, Fun Factory, Device, which, by the way, is in New Zealand, in sport sheets, online, and in sex toy boutiques that handpick their product selections. These companies have raised the bar on what people expect when they plunk down their hard-earned cash for something nice to shove up there, or rather, our butts. Some novelty products are not safe at any speed. Take, for example, Nonoxynil 9. Nonoxynil 9 is an ingredient that has been added to lubricants, condoms, in toy cleaner for its alleged properties of being able to be used as a spermicide and to fight the AIDS virus. Ninoxidil 9, in reality, is a detergent, and it removes skin. Really. Avoid any and all lube, condoms, and toy cleaner with Ninoxidil 9. N9 is a detergent that has been shown to cause cervical abrasions, strips away rectal lining, and only kills HIV/AIDS in clinical settings. If you're curious, look for the article, quote, "The Ninoxidil 9 Scandal, How AIDS Prevention Put Women and Gay Men at Risk" by Patrick Califia, and also read The Scandal of Ninoxidil 9. This article is linked from the page on my website if you want to go check it out. Another awful, awful product that's widely, widely available is anal ease. Anal ease can really hurt you. Lubricants like anal ease with benzocaine and numbing agents called anal ease, that's EZE, good head gel, which also contains benzocaine, and desensitizing creams that are marketed for maintaining an erection, contain oils, flavors, and colorings, and they're very unsafe because of the benzocaine ingredient. Numbing the back of your throat, the penis, the vagina, and especially the anus can lead to serious injury and infections that can and often land users in the doctor's office or ER. Think about it. You can't feel the skin breaking or tearing, and if it's the anus that's being damaged, there's fecal bacteria involved. When you can't feel pain, you're getting injured, period. Pain sucks, but it's an important tool during anal play, telling you something's not right. If it hurts, you're either going too fast, you need more lubricant, the item is too big, you're not aroused enough, or you're not really in the mood. And when I researched my fellatio book, I communicated briefly with a dentist who'd seen significant bruising inside the throat of a female patient. Again, just think about it. And then there are shrink creams. No one knows if shrink creams can hurt you. Widely available shrink creams, Sure Grip, Tighten Up, and Feel Like a Virgin Again, claim to make the vagina smaller or tighter. The key ingredient in these creams is alum. Alum absorbs water out of the outer layer of the skin. As more water is absorbed, the cells begin to swell, closing the ducts that water would normally flow through. No study has been done on the effect of these creams or on the cervix, which is what they eventually end up getting rubbed on during penetration, but I'll wager it's not good. I kind of want to make the manufacturers snort a thick rail of alum so they can study the effects on their own mucous membranes. What I really hate about these shrink creams is the fact that they're trading on female insecurities about the vagina not being tight, pretty, or good enough for their male partner, like we need any negative reinforcement from our pussyphobic culture about how we look, feel, or smell down there. The marketing text runs, "China shrink cream is formulated to tighten the vaginal walls. China shrink cream is to help with loose vagina due to multiple childbirth and frigidity." I also want to throw up every time I see the packaging on these creams, as they're often called Oriental or China shrink cream, parlaying off of racist stereotypes and exotifying Asian sexual mystery, much the same way the porn industry fetishizes skin color and markets, I think, racist negative stereotypes about black male sexuality with its interracial videos. Also, beware of any toy sold as an anal toy that doesn't have a flared base. Novelty companies put anal on the packaging of toys unsafe for anal use all the time. And no one wants a trip to the ER to get a pocket rocket removed from their ass, even if the package said anal on it. Now, there are quite a few things that you should know about sex toy materials before you shop. There's no doubt, what the toy is made of makes all the difference in the world. Most commercially available sex toys are made of hard plastic, jelly rubber, silicone, vinyl, and soft skin, aka cyber skin or futurotic. But there are two basic hygienic differences you'll need to know when choosing a toy, porous versus non-porous materials. Non-porous toys are made of materials, like silicone, hard plastic, glass, metal, and stone, that are easy to clean and do not retain bacteria in the tiny pockets or pores of the surface. What this means is that when you clean one of these toys, they're completely clean and don't have the potential to carry STDs or bacteria that can infect or reinfect the user. Plastic, glass, and Pyrex, metal and stone sex toys can be rendered sterile surfaces by washing with an unscented antibacterial soap like Hibiclens, or a solution of 1 to 10 bleach in water, or 1 to 10 alcohol in water as a fine alternative. Many consider silicone the perfect sex toy material. Of course, the popularity of silicone toys caused the ethics-free novelty sex toy industry to start incorrectly labeling jelly rubber toys as silicone or silagel to make more sales. Again, buyer beware. Private companies make silicone toys from medical-grade silicone, so you should never be able to see through a silicone toy. Real silicone is always opaque. The surface is 100% pore-free, and these toys have a silky smooth surface. They can range from very firm to floppy soft, and they warm quickly to body temperature and retain their heat for a long time. Silicone toys can be boiled for up to 5 minutes or run in the top rack of the dishwasher for complete sterilization, which is especially awesome for anal toys. Some silicone toys react badly to silicone lubricants, so it's best to use water-based lubes with your silicone toys. Most sex toys are made of a material usually referred to as jelly rubber, though you'll also see variations like jelly, latex jelly, or derivatives like glow-in-the-dark and quote-unquote realistic materials such as soft skin, cyber skin, or futurotic. Jelly rubber toys are very colorful, clear, though not always, shiny, and visually appealing. It's the ultimate mystery material, mass-produced in mostly Chinese chemical factories, with so many mixtures and versions of the material it's difficult to pin down a set of manufacturer's ingredients. It is known that these mystery materials contain latex and phthalates. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But anyway, they have a very chemical smell. They leach oils and can leave spots on fabrics and wood, and the surface breaks down over time. Soft skin, cyber skin, and futurotic toys are especially strange. While they feel amazingly real, they react bizarrely with other jelly rubber toys and actually melt into wet puddles of chemical goo upon contact. Needless to say, don't store these two materials side by side. I've done it, and the weird liquid puddles of sex toy goo in the bottom of my drawer were really fucking creepy, let me tell you. Soft skin is the most porous toy of all, able to absorb color from lipstick and even text from newsprint. Crazy. And by the way, if you're curious about the ladies, which I still don't know if I'm pronouncing right, it's spelled P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S. And if you go and check out the unsafe document on my website, which is the text for this particular podcast, I have a link that goes to the Wikipedia breakdown of what that stuff is and what all the controversy is surrounding it and how toxic it is. But no one knows for sure how safe these jelly rubber toys are for internal use. Again, it's the novelty industry, so we can surmise that it'll be about 800 years before clinical tests are done on the long-term effects of jelly rubber chemicals on the cervix and lower colon. Some people have no problems with jelly rubber toys and have used them for years uneventfully, except for the orgasm part, which is certainly an event. Others have had serious reactions to the latex or other unknown chemicals, ranging from anaphylactic shock from latex allergy to recurring infections. On my site, on this document, you'll find an article about the possible harmful and carcinogenic nature of these toys, and you'll also find a startling article about a German chemist study that found 10 toxic chemicals in jelly rubber. I've actually been meaning to find a chemist and have this stuff analyzed just for my own curiosity. So if there are any kink or sex positive chemical engineers out there that are listening, definitely drop me an email. My email is violet@tinynibbles.com. So, about jelly rubber still, you'll notice that when you shop around on sex toy boutiques and women-owned and women-friendly sites, you'll notice that many of them recommend that you use a condom on any jelly rubber or soft skin toy that enters your body. I recommend the same thing. If you have no reaction to jelly rubber, and most people don't, remember to keep the toy really clean. Wash these toys with unscented antibacterial soap, like Hibiclens, or a solution of 1 to 10 bleach in water or alcohol in water. Waterproof sex toys are wonderful in this regard, as they can be completely submerged during cleaning. Consider porous toys disposable, and once it's been used for anal play, make it an anal-only toy. Keep an eye on the surface of the toy. Once it becomes dull, it's starting to break down, and you can never be sure you're getting it clean. Toss it out and get a new one. And hey, doesn't everyone want an excuse to go sex toy shopping? I know I always do. So finally, I want to wrap up this cautionary tale about what you stick in your body and what you buy from the novelty sex shops with just some basic good pussy health precautions. Avoid lubricants with sugar, colorings, and flavors in them. Glycerin and glycerol are sugars. Read the lube's ingredients because, yes, Virginia, Astroglide contains sugar. Sugar feeds yeast. Think about it. 9 times out of 10, when I worked in sex toy retail, this was the cause of most women's irritation. And that goes for whipped cream, chocolate, or pussy sundaes. None of those, please. Sugar caution also applies to well-meaning lovers who go down on you with a cough drop or mint in his or her mouth. Altoids makes some awesome sugar-free mints, by the way, if you want to try that trick and you don't have to worry about sugar. Ooh, it's strong, curiously. Don't get oil in the vagina either. Oils are difficult to flush out, though silicone lubes are fine, even though they feel a lot like oil. Silicone lube. Good stuff. It's amazing for hand jobs, let me tell you. And one brand of silicone lube recently tested and passed FDA regulations for safety. It doesn't absorb into the body. It's good stuff. Try to use pussy-friendly water-based lubes whenever possible, too. Always, always, always pee after sex, ladies, even if it's with yourself. If you have frequent bladder infections, this might be your solution. Avoid harsh soaps with intense scent or a high pH, like ivory and deodorant soaps. Use glycerin soaps if you think the soap might be a factor. And please don't douche. Just don't. Douching kills all the good flora and fauna that keeps your pussy healthy. I always wonder, I know that porn stars douche like 12 million fucking times a day. It's like Niagara Falls going through there. And I just wonder how often they get infections. And I know it's pretty often from the people I've talked to, but it's just kind of like, whoa, I wonder what the long-term effects of all that douching does to the healthy, friendly lactobacilli that are supposed to be all happy in there. Anyway, the last few cautions. Drink plenty of water. Have you ever had a lot of coffee and no water and then your pee stings? That's your urethra, which is the G-spot area, getting irritated and pleading for water. Now, ask yourself, is your lover touching your pussy with clean hands? Don't ever be afraid to have them use a glove or ask them to wash your hands if you're not sure. And if your lover protests when you ask, and it's easy for them to get defensive about it, try to be patient and say, hey, I just want to make sure your hands are clean. And, you know, it's also their chance to show you that they care about your pussy health. So don't ever be intimidated to ask for something like that. You probably already know, but I'm going to say it again. Never go from back door to front. Never go from anus to vagina. Bacteria from the anus, when it gets in the vaginal area, causes infections. And this can happen even if you took a shower or you think you're really super duper duper clean. So just don't do it. Again, if you're feeling irritated or you're having some vaginal problems, think about what your sex toy is made of. When in doubt, try to use silicone sex toys or metal, glass, or Pyrex, or cover your toy with a condom. Keep condoms handy so you don't have to hassle with washing a toy when you don't want to get out of bed. It sucks to be really, really horny and laying there and all warm under the covers, and then you're like, oh, I forgot to wash my toy last time, and there it's sitting, and, well, you just don't get to use it. If you've been using a jelly rubber toy with no irritation, but suddenly start experiencing irritation, it's time for a new toy, or start using it with a condom. Jelly toys are porous, and they can retain bacteria even after washing. Well, that's it. That's the big cautionary sex toy tale. And that's the reason why, you know, like, I get all these emails all the time from sites that want me to link to them, and I always click and check through and see what kind of products they carry or what sort of products they endorse. And, you know, lo and behold, if they carry Analyze or if they carry crap like China shrink cream, then there's no way I'm going to link to them, because that stuff is just really unsafe and seriously questionable. I do link to sites, though, that sell jelly rubber toys because it's, you know, it's a juggernaut. And I think that as long as consumers, us, sex consumers, smart sex shoppers, are armed with the knowledge of how to take care of ourselves and how to, like, shop smart about this stuff, then I think we can do okay. Besides, I mean, you should be treated like an adult about the way that you perceive your sexuality. So I think that it's about time that we start voting with our dollars and putting our credit cards where our feelings are about the way that these companies treat us about our sexual health. As you can tell, I'm kind of in a little war on novelty sex toy companies, because I'm just tired of them getting away with this bullshit for so long. When I worked at Good Vibrations, years and years and years I spent on the floors talking to customers, and I pretty much spent the entire day explaining all of this stuff that I just read in this podcast several times a day to people, because once people started to learn about what the toys were made of, they were obviously really concerned for their own health. And they had a lot of questions as to why, you know, companies made toys for sex, but were doing so without any Well, just with such blatant disregard for the sanctity of the sexual health of their consumers. And, you know, I mean, I've met the guys at Pipe Dream, and they don't give a shit. They just don't care. You know, they're a lot of old guys, and they're kind of guidos about sex, and they have real, you know, sort of 1950s Hugh Hefner attitudes about sex and the way that people are exploring sex. And the truth is that the rest of the world isn't like that, and the people that are starting to be interested in and the people that are starting to buy sex toys are way more sexually sophisticated than they think. So, anyway, thanks for listening to this episode of Open Source Sex. We are going to be back on our regular erotica and quickies reading schedule very soon. I've got the new GarageBand. Hopefully the noise, their sound levels aren't too wacky in this one because I'm experimenting with a different set of sound levels. But at any rate, hopefully soon I will be plugging Skype into this thing and doing some interviews, because there are some people that I really want to interview that really want to be on this show, and I just need to get GarageBand and Skype talking and make it happen. Anyway, blah blah blah. Okay, thank you for listening, and until next time.